My message is five principles on how to be a godly dad. Five principles on how to be a godly dad. The only thing that qualifies me to teach on this subject, there's two things that I would like to notice. Number one, seeing all the mistakes that I made as a dad. And sometimes I ask myself the question, why is it that God gives children to parents that never had any before and really don't know anything about it? But I have also noticed, and I probably felt the same way, you know, before we were married, I had like 10 rules on how to raise children. But later on in life, we had 10 children. I didn't have any rules anymore. I wasn't sure how to do it. So, looking back, one of the reasons that qualifies me this morning to speak on this subject is looking back and seeing all the mistakes that I made with our family. And the second one is, I work in prison as a prison chaplain. Prison has helped me to get some of my perspectives right by seeing so many inmates that never knew their dad. We have a high percent of black young men in prison, and almost 85% of those young black men tell me they never knew their dad. So as I visit and counsel with these young men and see why they are behind those bars, that has helped me to get my perspectives as a dad right. And it has helped me to be there for my children. Our children are all married and gone. But yet we have a responsibility even after they leave home. Okay. Verse 14 again. Notice how it says, how it starts here. It says, now therefore. When we find the word therefore, we need to take notice and check out why it's therefore. Why did God put it there? In verses 1 through 13, we don't really have the time to read that. We see God saying, look. He was telling the children of Israel, look, I have blessed you in so many ways. I have been so good to you. I have done so many things for you. Therefore, if we look back and see where God has blessed us, if you look back and see how God has delivered you from where you were and where He has brought you, therefore, serve Him with a fervent heart. Do what He requires of you. God has blessed us over and over again. He has delivered us. God has provided. Therefore, serve the Lord in sincerity and faithfulness. Here in verse 14, it says, put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Put away those gods. Serve the Lord. Yes. Serve the Lord. And it also goes on to say, if ye think it evil to serve God, then I guess you may serve those other gods. The gods that you used to serve. If you think it evil. Many people think it is evil to serve God. Maybe they wouldn't say it in that many words, but the way they live their lives, they are saying that, yes, it's better to serve other gods. he is saying here to put away those gods. What are some of the gods of today? What are the gods of the times that we are living in today? It's money, it's sex, it's many other things, being popular. If you would rather do that, if you want to rather serve those gods, you may. You have the opportunity and the privilege to do it. And I have discovered that if we do not want to obey God, we don't have to. God is gentleman enough to allow us to walk away from us, from him. He's a gentleman. And if we don't want to serve him, we don't have to. But we're going to suffer the consequences. I often ask these young men in prison, what do you harvest when you plant a seed of corn? And they say, what? Yeah, what do you harvest when you plant a seed of corn? And surprisingly, many of those young men tell me, I have no idea. We never had a garden. I never worked on a farm. I'm like, really? You don't know what you harvest when you plant a seed of corn? So I go on to the next one. To the next question, I said, what do you harvest when you plant marijuana? Oh, yeah, marijuana. They understand that one. We reap what we sow. So ask him, did you make any wrong choices in your life? And might that be the reason why you're behind these bars? If we make wrong choices, we will suffer the consequences. And that's what it's talking about here. That's what Joshua is saying. If you want to serve those gods from the other side of the Red Sea, go ahead and do it. But you're going to suffer the consequences. That message is for us today. If you want to serve those idols, you may do so. But Joshua said, but as for me, I love what he starts with. But as for me, not just my house is going to serve the Lord, but as for me. Dads, do you want a family that loves and serves God? I'm sure you do. I do. If that's our desire, then it starts with us. It starts with us. But as for me and my house, two things. Joshua knew where it started with. It started with him. That's why he said that. And it goes on to say, as for me and my house. That indicates that Joshua was a faithful communicator, and he communicated with his family. He knew where they stood. He knew what they wanted to do. And then he stood in front of the people, the children of Israel, and he said, but as for me and my house, he knew where they stood, we will serve the Lord. May God help us. Joshua devoted himself to the Lord. Joshua devoted his family to the Lord. The most important thing that we as dads can do, or the most important thing that we as dads can give to our families, is not money or things, but a devoted life to God on a daily basis. It's a gift to our families. Our personal devotion to God on a daily basis, they see that day after day after day. Godly dads devote their families to God. And it's not money. It's not things. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, I think it's chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Yes. I'd like to read verses 4 through 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently, notice that, dads, unto thy children. And thou shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Okay? Godly dads love the Lord with all their heart, their soul, and their might. And we are to teach what God's word says in a diligent way to our family on a daily basis. It's easy to say that, but it's harder to do it. But we must. God requires it from us. Teach them diligently. Talking about our children, we need to teach them diligently on a daily basis what it is to be Christians. Not just on Sunday or every once in a while. How do we do this? Well, it goes on to say right here. It says, when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Okay? Sitting down, walking, lying down, and again when we rise up. So how do we teach them to love God with everything? We do that simply by what he says here when we're sitting down. And I would like to notice a number of points here as we sit down. I'm a firm believer that we as dads are the priest in our home. We are responsible to teach our children while we sit down. And there's a lot of examples that we could use. But I believe that one of these ways that we do that is very important, and that we should have, as Christian families, we should have a family worship on a daily basis. We need to start when the children are small. We can tell them a Bible story. We can tell them the story about David. And we can tell them the story about... Well, there's so many. I remember one of our favorites was, when our children were small, was David when he killed Goliath. And we would be sitting on our couch, and our children were small, but they understood what I was saying. And you know, David went down to the creek, and he got these stones, and he put them in a slingshot, and he whirled that thing around, and he threw it, and he hit David right in the head. And the Bible says it sunk into his forehead, and then he toppled over. And as I was saying that, we would all fall off of our chairs or the couch. It leaves an impression on the children. Teach your children on a daily basis. Worship with your family and keep it up over the years. Very important. Okay, I have a few numbers here. I think there's 52 weeks in a year? Okay, but let's, we're not perfect, so. Let's say 50. And let's say we have family worship 5 days a week. 50 times 5 is where's the school teacher? Back there's one. I'm not sure who the others are. 250, thank you. That's right. Okay, and let's say our children are with us in our homes till they're 18 years old. So 250 times, come on, school teachers, times 18 years is how many messages? Don't get your, leave your phones alone. It's 4,500. Okay, so take time for family devotions. 5 days a week, that's 250, times 18 years is 4,500. Okay? That's beside the messages that they hear Sunday mornings. It's not taking into account when you have revivals or special meetings. It's not taking into account the wedding messages and funeral messages. That's what God means when he says that we should teach our children diligently while we sit down. What are some other ways when we sit down? I'm also a firm believer that three times a day, I know I'm old-fashioned, that three times a day we should sit down at the table with our families to eat. Even if we just drink coffee in the morning. Do y'all have a table in your house? You do? Okay. You sit down at a table three times a day to eat. And there's a lot of good things that dads can teach here. Food is ready, so we sit at the table. And we pray. When we're finished praying, the food comes around. Or we get it, because we're hungry. Especially boys. So we're hungry. And little boys, sometimes some that are pretty big already, they're really hungry, their eyes are bigger in their tummy. And so they put a lot of food on their plate, and they're really hungry, and they put a big spoonful of food in their mouth, and then they chew it like this. Dad, that's when you're supposed to teach. You're sitting down and you're supposed to teach your boys to chew with their mouth closed. Yes. So we eat our food and we're sitting there, and then somebody goes, burr. Dad, you can teach the boys to burp in a quiet way. It doesn't have to burr. Everybody hears it. And put your hand across your mouth. Teach your children diligently. Yes. And, well, the family where I grew up in, we were always in a hurry. Always in a hurry. And I've had a hard time slowing down ever since. In fact, I told somebody the other day, I think the only gear I have left is overdrive. We were taught to run. We were taught to be in a hurry. We would sit down at the table and dad would have a silent prayer. And when we were finished, I mean, seriously, dad told us, okay, boys, shovel it in. We got work to do. And we gobbled our food. We did. My brother was sitting on one side of the table and I was on the other one. And we saw the plate of hamburgers, and he grabbed it and so did I. You know what happened with the hamburgers. But dad told us to shovel it in. So we did. We were in a hurry. And yes. Teach your children diligently while you're sitting down. Very important. Okay. Where are we at here? Teaching them when we're sitting down. Mealtime. Family worship, sitting about the table. You know, the Bible talks about, it's in Psalms someplace, about our children sitting around the table. Very, very good. I said something about boys And not just boys, sometimes their eyes are bigger than their stomach. You're really hungry and the potatoes come around and some meat and you really like it and you pile it up. And you get about halfway finished with those potatoes and, Mama, I'm full. What are you going to do with the leftovers? Is that what you said? The trash can? What did Jesus do with his leftovers or the leftovers that they had? But there were some leftovers. What did he do with them? They gathered them up. I don't know what he did with them, but I'm guessing there were some families there that had, you know, some parents that had a lot of children, and there was probably some widow ladies there, and he gathered all that up, and he gave it to them so it wouldn't go to waste. My wife and I sometimes struggle. We have fellowship meal twice a month. Yes, you heard right. We have a big church. And just on a regular Sunday, when we don't have fellowship meal, I can only visit and talk with about six of the brethren, then they're all gone. So we have fellowship meal twice a month, so we can then, after fellowship meal, we stay there in the gym, and we have a good time visiting with each other and getting to know each other better. Anyhow, I get off on so many little rabbit trails. So my wife and I struggle when we have fellowship meal. Here the children come through the line without mom and dad. And I suggest, Ricky, you go with dad or with your mom. Because if not, you're probably going to take too much food and then you can't eat the big piece of cake and the two cookies you put on. And so when you're finished, what am I going to do with it? There's a trash can over there, so you kind of put the napkin over the top and you take it on. No. No. When I was growing up and we couldn't eat all our food, do you know what happened with it? My mom, we didn't have electricity. My mom put it in an ice box. And it wasn't very cold. She put it in there. Do you know what I got for the next meal? Exactly that. Yes. We didn't have a lot of money. And we had to eat what we had and save. Yes. Okay. So there's a lot of things that can be taught while we sit down around the table. Very important. And it says, when we walk by the way, what do you teach your children when you walk by the way? Well, I suggest that, you know, there's a number of things that we can do. I really like God's creation, the flowers and the birds, and there's so many pretty things that God made. And I think we should take our families and we go on a walk and we stop and we notice the little flowers. We have a yellow flower and it has red dots in it. And we look at that and, wow, isn't it wonderful, Johnny, how God made this flower? And then maybe in the grass, I'm not sure about here, but where we were for many, many years, there in the grass is a bright red, what do you call them? You know what a sapo is? A frog. A bright red frog, and he has green legs. Whoa, look at him. Just look at him. Wow. I think it's the only place in the world where there are some. It's in Costa Rica. Go tell your dad sometime you want to go to Costa Rica for a weekend. There's a lot of monkeys there. They're black and their face, just the front of the face is white. And they swing by their tails and they jump way down to another tree and catch themselves. Yes. So as we walk by the way, we notice these little things. And dads, you need to take your children out at night sometime because a lot of small children are scared of the dark. Mr. I think you're a Mr. Harms, aren't you? Yeah, I thought so. Are you scared of the dark? What could...
Your dad and mom must take you out sometimes during the night. And as you walk along, they point out to you that thing up there, that's the moon. God made the moon. And as you're walking along, you hear something that goes, ooh, ooh, or something like that. And you're scared, and you run over and hang on to mommy's skirt tail. Mommy, what's that? I'm scared. Well, it's just an owl up in the tree. Yeah, you don't have to be scared at night. God is there, and God watches us. Doesn't this thing work anymore?
There it is.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, as we walk, by the way, teach your children. Point out to them all the beautiful things that God made. It will leave an impression on them for the rest of their lives. So important that we do that. We diligently, thank you, we diligently teach our children. I was so engrossed here in what I was doing. I didn't realize this thing wasn't working right. But anyhow. So teach your children, dads, as you walk by the way. It's very important. And teach them diligently. Then it says, as you lie down. What are you going to teach your children when you lie down? Well, I'd like to make the application, and maybe that applies more to you over here on this side. I'm not sure. Not necessarily, maybe, but maybe. You tuck your little babies in to their little cribs, and the ones that are a little bigger, and they're bigger bed, and you put a blanket around them and make them all cuddly and give them a kiss, and then you teach them to pray. Like, I don't know what, you would probably do it in a German language that I don't understand, but now I lay me down to sleep, and you know that, and teach that to your children, for even before they can talk, you can teach them that little prayer, and you know what, before you know, they're going to be saying that little prayer. Teach them to pray as they lie down. Teach them diligently. That's what the Bible says here. Okay. Teach them to pray. And as you rise up, I believe what God meant or had in mind for this, as we rise up, you just, dads, just be consistent again the next day and do it all over again and again and again and again. The Bible talks about, I think it's in Isaiah, it talks about, let's just look at it, Isaiah 28. Let me see if I can, what does it say there? I should know that. Isaiah 28, 9 and 10. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For, yes, here it is. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little, there a little. So the next day, you just teach all over again what you taught the day before. It's called being consistent year after year. After year. Daddies, teach your children the principles of God's word. As they grow up, teach them. As they have grown up, like some of these big boys here this morning, yeah, your dad still needs to teach you. You don't know quite everything yet. I'm sure there's a few things you know that your dad doesn't. But dads, continue teaching them. It's very important. Even after they're grown up, continue to teach them. teach them godly business principles. Mm-hmm. Teach your sons how to love and respect women. Do any of you dads know how to do that? How do you teach your sons, your grown-up sons, how to respect women? Tell them, watch me how I love your mom. And that teaches them to respect women. There's so many other things that are very valuable. While you're sitting down, read to your children, especially the ladies, the mothers. Read to your children. It opens their minds. Read them stories about missionaries and about people in other countries, and it will help to make them wise. Teach them godly principles about sex. It's our responsibility. Teach them. Godly dads do these things. Okay, we must go on. Godly dads discipline the ones they love. Hebrews 12. Let's notice a few verses there. Hebrews 12. Verses 6 through 11. Says whom the Hebrews 12:6, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrupted us. I'm sorry. Which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Notice what discipline is for. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of God's holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Okay? When we talk about discipline, I'm not talking about beating them or being rude, but applying loving discipline. How many of you have had fathers that lovingly disciplined you? Raise your hands. Okay. And how many of you are thankful that you got spanked? Good for you, sonny. Yes, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Evidently, it has done you some good. I got plenty when I was your age and younger. That kind of indicates something. But I think it has done me some good. You know, these young men that I visit in prison, they will tell me they never got spanked. They just never got spanked. I, of course, wouldn't do it, but if I would know their dads, I'd feel like spanking them. That's where their sons are in prison, because they never got spanked. They never got corrected. Yes. Godly dads discipline their children. Okay. verse 11 here says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but it's grievous, it hurts. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Yeah. What's the goal of discipline? Children living the way that God has called them to live. I remember one time we were at a grocery store with our youngest son. And we went down this aisle with our cart and we put, probably sugar and flour. And then we came around on the next one and there we got, some more stuff. And we went around the corner and we come to the next one. And all at once, Anthony started screaming and kicking and he was laying down on the floor. He said, "Today I want candy." There was a whole bunch of candy there. Oh, that's the way you ask for candy? Come here, sonny. And we went to the restroom. It got pretty hot in there. We went back out again. We kept on going. A week later, we had to have some more groceries. So we came back and we started the process all over. And when we came to the candy, Anthony looked at it and said, "Daddy, can we have candy this week?" It works, man. Yes, it works. I remember one time, one of my daughters, I don't know what she did, but I had to punish her pretty hard. So, did that in the bedroom. Okay, we were all finished, so I left, and so did she. And a little later, it was probably an hour later, I came back into the bedroom again. Do you know what I found there on my desk? It was a little bouquet of flowers that she had picked out in the yard, and she had a note with it, and she said, "I love you, Dad." Wow, it works! Yes! Did you ever get spanked? Good for your mom and dad. Yes. Yeah, it works. Mm-hmm. Loving discipline. Very important. Okay, I must go on. This verse says that they disciplined us after their own pleasure. This can be scary. Unless we as dads understand what God means by this, we can easily do more harm than good. In 1 Timothy 3, let's notice that 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Well, I think I'm wrong here. It's 2 Timothy. Yeah, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction." That means discipline. "For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Okay, correction, that's discipline. Dads, our discipline must line up with the Word of God. We don't discipline just because some of the children are annoying at times. Example, if your 2-year-old spills his milk because there was no lid on the sippy cup, who's the dummy? You know, sometimes children break stuff. Why do they do that thing? Why do they spill their milk? Why do they break a toy? Or why do they break one of mom's favorite glasses or dishes? Well, I think God is trying to teach you as a dad how to patiently discipline your children. He's teaching us patience. Yes. We need to look at ourselves. Discipline, very important. What do we discipline for? Whatever lines up with God's word. For reproof, for correction. This was wrong. This is right. Ricky, do you sometimes hit your little brother? Be honest. You do? Well, that's what daddy's supposed to discipline you for, because you're not supposed to hit your brother. You're supposed to love your little brother.
He's embarrassing his little brother.
Oh, are you Ricky too? Thank you for being honest. I was talking to the little man back there, but yeah, you're an honest little man. Good for you. So both of you hit your sister. Don't do it again. Because I think if you hit your little brother or sister, probably you will get... And that's good for little boys. Yes. The things that line up with God's word is what we need to discipline for. Let's notice a verse in Proverbs 22. Let me see here. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Fathers, we need to lovingly discipline our children. Okay, godly dads demonstrate how to follow Christ. Children crave the attention of their parents, especially dad. How many of you dads go swimming with your boys sometimes? Okay, very good. Very good. Did you ever notice that when Johnny's on the diving board and he's just ready to jump in, just before he takes that jump, he looks around and says, "Daddy, do you know what he's going to say? Watch me." Yes. And then he takes his dive. Wow, that's so much fun. We need to be watch me dads. They say, "Daddy, watch me." And then they do something. We need to say, "Sonny, watch me." And they will, whether you like it or not. A lot more is caught than taught. Ricky is watching you, whether you like it or not. And so is this little man. What's your name?
Adonijah.
Okay. You watch your dad. Watch him and follow that example. Okay, good. Okay. All right. We need to be watch me dads. That's okay. Watch me. Watch me as I follow Christ. 1 Corinthians, there's a verse that I'd like to notice. 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 4 maybe. 1 Corinthians 4, 15 and 16. It says, "For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, ye have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." We need to be followers of Christ, and we teach that to our children as they follow us. Watch what I do and do as I do. Follow me as I follow Christ. You know, maybe sometime your little son comes and says, Daddy, how am I supposed to pray? And I encourage you to ask your, when you sit down to the table to eat, ask your little boys to pray. And then maybe they're not used to it, and you tell them, okay, today, I think you have a lot of Abes, and I'm not sure what all the names are. Okay, Abe, it's your turn to pray this morning. And he probably says, Daddy, how am I supposed to pray? So you tell him, you listen to me, and you pray. That's how you teach them to pray. Yes. Daddy, how do I trust God? And how am I supposed to, when they get up to 14, 15, and 16, how am I supposed to treat my sisters or the other young ladies in church? Again, I told you once, but just again, watch me as I love your mother and how I treat them. That's how you're supposed to treat ladies. Yes. We need to live a watch me life. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. This talks about a watch me dad. He will imitate Christ. And that's how we teach it to our little ones. Whether you're a watch me dad or not, they're watching. More is caught than taught. Godly dads show their children how to follow Christ by the life they live on a daily basis. Okay, I have one more point. Godly dads delight in their children. 1 John 3:1. 1 John 3. Verse 1 says, Behold, the manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. But the first part, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. That is the kind of love that God has shown to each one of us as dads. That's the kind of love that we need to show to our children. God delights in us as his children. God loves us. God loves to spend time with us. God loves to hear us pray. God wants to forgive us. God wants to have a meaningful relationship with us. Does that make us love God? Yes. That makes us love God. If you don't spend time with your children, if they don't hear you pray, if it's hard for you to forgive them when they break something, and if you have no relationship with your children, will they love you? Probably not. Probably not. Do you tell your children that you love them? Do you ever just go and hug your 18-year-old son? You should. You got it coming. You never did yet. Yes. Yeah, just do it. Just love them up. They'll love you back. Yeah. Tell them you love them. Give them a hug and a big old squish, a big old bear hug. Yes. Do you spend time with them when you come home from work and you're tired? And you're dirty? You spend time with them? They said, Daddy, let's go play basketball. and you're tired. Yep, take off your old clumpy work shoes and put some tennis shoes on and go out and play basketball with them. They'll love you up for it. Form a good relationship with them. Godly dads delight in their children. Do you pray for your children? Not just when you're alone. Of course I expect you pray for your children. But yeah, on their bed, by their bedside, or maybe they come crying because they hurt themselves, or maybe you know your teenage son is going through some real struggles. Go tell him, "Sonny, I love you," and give him a hug and just pray for him right there. Godly dads do those things. Very important. Moms, you do the same. Do you forgive your children when they do something wrong? You need to. Godly dads delight in their children. Okay, we're going to quit. I don't want to go over time. I might have already. I'm not real sure. But you remember what I said yesterday morning. There's something real positive about going over time. They won't ask you to come back again. Okay, in conclusion, as a father, who will teach my children about God? I will. As a father, who will teach my children about sex? I will. As a father, who will teach my sons to respect women? I will. As a father, who is going to teach my sons godly business principles? I will. As a father, who's going to teach my sons and my daughters godly courtship principles? I will. God requires it of us. Godly principles and how to be a father. Shall we bow our heads and pray? Our Father in heaven, we stand before you.